Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We're going to get right into the message tonight. This is part 8 of the Fallen Angels, and I hope that you're enjoying the series if you're a regular listener to us here on the Shepherd's Call. This is Friday. We're live tonight, and it's 5 o'clock in the Pacific region, and it's 8 o'clock in the Eastern time zone, and somewhere in between where you're at. So we hope we hit you and the proper time zone. Well, we're going to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, and we're going to look at what the Bible has got to say about the fallen ones. That's our message. That's what it's all about tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that there was war in heaven. Now, this war was not a figment of anybody's imagination. This was real. It had dire consequences. Kingdoms, worlds, and heavens were shaken by the might of the mighty ones as they were displaying their power, and they were warring against one another far above, if you will, the mind of man. Maybe man wasn't even aware of what was going on in the region of the worlds that these battles were being fought. I do believe that if you look into the heavens, there is visible signs that is displayed on the surface of some planets, meaning that the debris that's in our system here, our nearby planetary system, the solar system that we live in, there is debris, like some kind of a giant explosion, maybe a complete, if you will, maybe a complete shattering of a planet. And I do believe that there has been a planet between Mars and Earth. And this planet was taken out purposely by someone, some intelligent power that saw the need to disband this federation of the gods. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, these gods, if you will, that had fallen in their mind, they had a plan. And we talked about it in the book of Enoch last night. They had a conspiracy to deliberately. Now, this was a deliberate, conceived plan, agreed to, and sworn to band to a curse pact, that they would remain loyal to one another to bring forth illicit, if you will, offspring up on the planet Earth with the introduction of Adam and his race brought a lusting, a longing for the carnal flesh of the daughters. And this is, you know, it just almost seems like a fairy tale. It almost seems like that is, it is out of the reason for us to even, to contemplate or to think on these things, or to try to figure out the great mystery that went on back there. But ladies and gentlemen, if we don't attempt to solve the mysteries, and the Bible said, great is this mystery. And the Bible talks about the mystery of godliness, and it also talks about the mystery of iniquity. And so there's two phases of thought here that we must give our spiritual attention to. The Bible said strive to enter in. And for many said, we'll strive and will not be able. Now, why do we have to strive to give thought process to these bad ones, the ones we call the bad guys, as well as the good guys? Why should we meditate upon these? Why should we even bother? Does it really matter? I mean, can we just haphazardly go through life, you know, like the old saying here in the South, like hogs under an acorn tree, never look up to see where the acorns are coming from? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we ought to know the source of evil. There is evil in the earth. And it was brought here by someone purposely. And the consequences of the curses that were put upon the fallen ones, and it was also, remember, this curse was always, it was extended toward man. Because man, in the meantime, failed through transgression, and he too must be party to the judgment of the fall. Not only did the angels fall, we talk about angels falling and think that is a terrible thing, but we fell. Man fell. Adamkind fell. Remember, Eve was in the transgression. Now, Adam wasn't in the transgression, but I've explained to you that he voluntarily remained here upon the planet. He had his choice to go back to the fifth dimension. But instead, showing his love for his wife, which was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, what if he'd have went back to the heavens? Would he have ever been psychologically able to handle the parting of the, or the splitting of the sexes that would have left him, psychologically, I believe, unstable? His spirit would have never been content or satisfied or fulfilled, because this mission was a twofold mission for be fruitful and multiply. Now, Adam had to bring forth in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, long after the sin of the garden, 130 years as we keep time. And remember, now it could have been 130,000 years before Adam ever knew Eve. Because remember, one day is 1,000 years if we count it in that relationship. Remember, I told you that Adam did not die until 960 earthier ages, and that could have been figured in some other time form formula, by the way Yahweh figures time. So we just have to leave that laying there, because it's impossible. But it does reflect the need for us to look at the reasons that man fell, and then that brings you to the feet of the question of why angels fell. I can understand why man fell, but angels? Now, remember, we read in 1 Peter the book, and Jude the first book, and we got an inkling here of what really happened. Now, listen to this. In Titus 2:13, it tells us that teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Why are these ungodly things here, and why is this unworldly lust here? To tempt us? To wreak havoc with our spiritual mind and our carnal mind? Why is these wars? You know, the Bible said the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of Yahweh, neither can be. Well, why are these things like they are, and why are we in such a dire strait, if you will, trying to figure out the great mysteries? Why is it almost beyond our comprehension in an average way we think? Why is it that it almost says, well, since we can't figure it out and the Bible's not clear about it, then there's no use us going into it because it's a mute issue? Well, it's not. Again, the Bible said strive to enter in, study to show yourself approved. And to go into the deep things, the things that are not written, is what that I'm trying to get you to see in the series of the fallen angels. The Bible says the things that are not written, that should have been written, the world itself couldn't contain the books that could be written about what's not written. And so then there is worlds of information. stored somewhere accessible to those who he said to seek. Seeking you shall find. Knocking it shall be open. Well, the first series, it asked, of course, and you have not because you ask not. And then when we ask, we mostly want to consume it on our lust or to make advantage or to get us popular or to make money out of it or to show ourselves somebody. You know, first thing a prophet does when he makes a few prophetic utterances and they come to pass, he gets the big head, thinks he's doing it on his own, and then he's in for a fall. The more that you reveal of that which is concealed, you better make sure that your election is very solid in the rock of ages, lest you get exalted as Paul did. Remember, the Bible said through the abundance of the revelations that he received, the Bible says that he was buffeted by a messenger from Satan to bring him down a notch or two. So don't be exalted too high, and don't get too low, lest you get discouraged from seeking the inward path. And this path is hidden, if you will. We're talking about the esoterical knowledge, that which is hidden from the world, the knowledge that is concealed only to be revealed to the seekers. That's why that the true knowledge, the deep knowledge, only comes to the individual that seeks it. And it's like a compartmentalized government system that is sharing secrets with you. Each compartment knows not what the other compartment is all about or whether it even exists. And so that's how, actually, that the Father himself keeps these things secret and only reveals them to the babes, those that become reborn, rebirthed, and taken out of the world, taken out of the mainstream of denominationalism, churchianity, I call it, or the bell box system of a 501(c), where you can't learn anything but pay and pray. And, you know, keep Easter and go through the seasons of Easter and Christmas and things. Well, you know, the things that we got to occupy our mind in tradition. Even the stores decorate their stores. They sell their products as seasonal things. Of course, you wouldn't put winter clothes out in the summer. And you wouldn't put summer clothes out in the winter. And so to entice you, to get you into the stores to buy the merchandise at Christmas time, they support the doctrine of Christmas and Santa Claus. Not because it's a truth, but because it really creates a large windfall for the world system. And the Bible speaks about the merchants of Babylon waxing rich just off these pagan holidays. Did you know that Christmas is the number one event that 2 weeks prior to Christmas and 2 weeks after Christmas, the sales after Christmas sales, and the actual Christmas holiday season itself are the most lucrative, profitable year for the merchants. Well, now let me show you what follows very closely. You're going to be surprised. Did you know that Halloween is next in revenue windfall of the pagan holidays that is on the charts? That Halloween, the time that they dress up to be goblins and witches and demons and scary, they put on these very expensive masks. Now, it's an art. It's a science. They mold these rubber masks, some of them costing nearly $100 a piece. And the little outfits for the children, $25 to $30, just little plastic stuff. To dress up your little demons and take them out demonizing the community. And say, oh, it's all in jest and fun, and it's not really real, it's make-believe. Well, you know, the Bible said, as a man thinketh, so he is. So when they get you to thinking in these repetitious, traditional events, well, you grow up to become that, and you teach your children just like you were taught, and it's a hand-me-down, and it becomes a custom that is accepted as truth rather than the lie that it actually is. So, who did all this? Who caused us to fall? Who caused us to imagine vain things? Who caused us to be quick to do evil and slow to do good? Somebody's monkey tampered with. We believe the series has proven that our DNA has been tampered with. We believe that with all of our heart, that we have gods, super gods. Now, these super gods are very evasive. Of course they don't want you to know. Would we from the earth, if we visit a very primitive planet, that would have the potential to blow themselves up, you know, in fear, because fear has torment. Did you know that if we, it was announced that we were surrounded by an invasionary force of people that had the power and technology to conquer us and to rule over us or to literally destroy us, that we would panic and push the panic button and nuclear buttons and we'd fire missiles in all directions because of fear? And that's why that these super gods, I call them, Elohim, these mighty ones banished from the Federation of the good guys. They have now been given the opportunity, the final opportunity for the invasion of Earth. Now, who are they? Satan and his angels. Now, I can't stress this enough. They're not figments of your imagination. They're not little old misty spirits or disembodied spirits. People say, well, you know what a demon is? It's a disembodied spirit. Well, wait just a minute. Can you read in the Bible that a devil is a spirit? No, you can't. The word devil itself means, in the Hebrew, an opposer. Well, what did this demonic demon do? Demonic demon is just a word that we've attached to describe something that is evil. Well, Satan's master plan was to change something evil that he is, really, and make himself look good. How did he make himself look good? Well, of course, he began to take the truth, hide it, suppress it, confuse it, sow tares, and then get his seed into these chief seats as the Pharisees and the hypocrites. And he began to get these into the region of authority. Remember, the Bible said they love the chief seats. And by execution of good birth practices. You see, Satan is very crafty in mixing his seed and sowing his tares among wheat. Now, wheat is an example of a good sheep. You see what I'm talking about? Now, the good sheep are, as sheep nature are dumb. Well, the snakes that trail the sheep, the wolves that trail the sheep, if you will, are very crafty in feeding off of sheep. They devour sheep. And so we become susceptible to the evil forces, but these evil forces have pulled off their skins of wolves and disguised themselves as actual sheep. Now, how did they do that? They have mixed their seed. And the Bible says that Satan and his angels will think to mix their offspring. And we're talking about the offspring, the fallen ones, that had a literal offspring from the sons and daughters that are here upon earth that have miscegenated and crossbred and to make a, if you will, a nightmare on Elm Street of genetics. The Father himself and his angels have to work overtime to protect, shield, and purposely keep away or keep the wolves or the evil ones at bay. Because if we didn't have divine protection, you know what the Bible describes angels? Guardian angels. Guardian. What would they want to guard? Who do they want to guard? To guard the elect. Did you know the Bible says that Satan can actually take you captive at his own will? And we have no discerning, knowledge about recognizing Satan and his crafty tricks. But if you've been in situations like I have and you've been burnt one time too many, and the Bible said, Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Well, after you begin to get the experience of an angel and the expression and the deeds that they do In time, you will begin to learn their ways. And you will know. You will understand the reason that Satan is desiring to sift you like wheat. Now, what would Satan desire to sift you like wheat for? To actually destroy the root of your genetics. If he can get you to fornicate, mix your blood, cross your blood type with a kind that is not your kind, this is a serious offense in the Holy Spirit. It is actually listed as the only unpardonable sin, which is to race mix. The Bible said every sin that is committed is without the body, save fornication. He that commits fornication sins against his own body. And therefore, he blasphemes the Holy Ghost through racial miscegenation of crossbreeding of a species with a species that is not authorized in the scriptures or in the Holy Ghost code, I call it, of the DNA downline of the genetics that is acceptable back into the kingdom. The father will not. He said, I'll kill her children with death. The father is overseeing those who have the ability to produce good fruit, to keep a people whole, and to keep a people within the realms of truth. Remember what is prophesied about tares? That these tares would be removed and that it was the Elohim that would set up the kingdom? Matthew 25? Did you know that the Bible expresses that he will send his angels and gather out and sever? Sever means separate. Now, why would Yahweh do that? Everything that has miscegenated its blood, that has been worthy of the kingdom principles, and was chosen before the foundation to wear the crown that was laid up for him from the foundation of the world, everyone that has disavowed that or broke ranks, as these fallen angels have, it is evident that they too must pay the price that is listed in the scriptures before the deeds of their body. Now, let me go to you right here. Now, listen to this now. This is in chapter 1 of Jude, which is the first epistle of Jude, which is book 1, and it's the 5th verse. I will therefore put you in remembrance through once you knew this. Now, wait a minute. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. Knew what? Was there something inbred? The Bible says from a child you have known the Holy Scripture. Was there something inbred into our genetics? You know, when we cross the bloodlines and we defy the natural ability that we have for our mind to tell us we're doing wrong, and yet so many people practice it, and we see them doing it, and we dare to do it because the lust and the lure of strange flesh is what promotes or provokes or tempts and lusts to draw us away into these fields of racial miscegenation, which is against those who the Bible and the family to form about the house of Israel to keep themselves unspotted and only to, permissible to, mix with those who are of that racial descent only, and to keep ourselves pure and unspotted from the world. Though you once knew this, but when you have your conscience seared with a hot iron, when you see the precedents being set, oh, it's all right for us to go to school and mix and to mingle with all the other races. There's nothing wrong with it. God loves all of humanity, irregardless of what blood is in their veins, because God has made one blood of all nations. Did you know that's not in the scriptures? Although you think you can read it in the King James and it is in there, that it's actually a misquote, and in the original language, blood is not even mentioned. Would Yahweh set a precedent back in the book where he literally killed thousands of his own people and many millions of people that came in to mix and to entice and to draw the children of Israel away? Remember the Balak plan? You know what the Balak plan says in the book of Josephus? the book of Josephus says that Balaam advised the governments of the world at that time to bring forth their most handsome sons and their most beautiful daughters and move them close to the borders of Israel. And when the Israelites would see these handsome sons and they see these handsome, beautiful daughters, then they would be enticed or to lust because they look so good. And you know that it's the looking glass that got us into trouble in Genesis to start with to pronounce death or a curse upon the DNA extractions of mankind and serpentkind or angelkind. There is a pronounced curse on each of these. And there's no discharge there. You cannot escape death. Death is once appointed, and you will make that appointment in a flesh realm, whether you be angelic, or whether you be human, or whether you be starseed. These bodies of flesh will give way. Now after that, and the body is stripped, and the soul is laid bare, then the spirit is examined. Now, you know, the Bible said to try the spirit, to see what spirit that you're in. Try the spirits. Well, what about the war then that was made with the saints? Who was it that Satan came down here to battle against? Where is Satan? Is Satan a spirit? The answer to that is no. There's no scripture anywhere in the Bible that says that Satan is a spirit. Now, you say, well, what about the Bible says there are spirits of devils? Well, remember I said that the Bible said that you may have entertained angels unaware. You've never entertained something that you haven't seen. Satan doesn't come in an unseen way. He'll work in anything that'll let him, including a barking dog. And you know that demons that are now extracted, they have souls and they have spirits that are accountable. But once they're extracted, they have to have a physical body, a real live body. Remember, I told you they had the ability to descend from the fourth dimension into the third dimension in bodily form. So they have this power to take up on flesh bodies, and they decided that they were going to take a flesh body and in the third dimension, and they were going to stay here and miscegenate and crossbreed because they love the flesh. They lusted for the daughters of men, and they wanted to procreate and create because that gave them the power. Remember, they're not creators. They're protectors, overseers, and instructors of that which is created. Only Yahweh has the power to create. Satan has the power to pervert the creation. Remember, I gave you the example of the word Hayah, which has become, and the translation in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, says, was desolate, dark, and void. That's not true. Yahweh created everything with a light existence of a spoken word, and it was good. Everything that he does is good. And he created it with light. He didn't create the world with darkness, because darkness and light has no fellowship, and God himself is light rather than darkness. So how could the darkness create a world that was dark and void and without form? Just impossible. And the word there tells you that it became dark after it was created. So light created, it had to be good, and it became dark through the fall of the imagination of these filthy dreamers here that Jude's talking about. Listen what he says now, that once in remembrance, I put you in remembrance that you once knew this, how that Yahweh having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and here is... You make the tree good, and the fruit's going to be good. Can a tree change its way? No, the Bible says this tree, when it's cut down and falls, it as a tree falls, so shall it lie. In other words, the genetic truth of that tree, if it's a good tree, it will automatically produce good fruit. Well, you say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, the Bible says you got to be born again. It don't say that. I have made this quite clear in the example of doing the word searches that I encourage you to do. when it says be born again, that is a misnomer in the New Testament. It doesn't say that in John chapter 3. What it actually says in the Greek text, not the English text, which is has been misleading, what it actually says, you must be born from above. Now, that changes the whole complexion of the genetics down to a seed that must remain pure. Otherwise, that goal of Satan is to make the pure by mixing his genetics into the tree of good. The tree of evil became the possessor of some of the good to spoil it. Now, let me give you this thing here. You take a drop. Now, this is just an analogy here, crude as it may sound to you, but it's scientifically feasible to prove. You take one drop of black paint, and you can stir it into a bucket of white paint, and you can see the visible effects of that strain of the black into the white. Now, let me show you something real strange here. You can take one drop of white paint and drop it into a bucket of black paint and stir it up, and you'll never know that that white drop ever entered into the bucket. Matter of fact, you could put a cup full, and it'll take a long time before you'll either change the ruling black. And see, darkness rules. You take example after example after example of miscegenation, and it's just in flesh and blood, and the analogy would remain the same. The black rule. It rules because it taints quicker than white. White doesn't taint. It takes a long time for white to disturb anything because of its nature. And so then, Satan, being the black sheep of the family here, at one time he was an angel, and the Bible said he was perfect. Here in the book of Isaiah, what we're going to try to enter into tomorrow night, it says that Satan, he was perfect when he was created. Now, he has beginning. Something that's created has got a beginning, and Satan has an end. So everything that has a beginning has an end. He was perfect until iniquity was found in him. And you know a tree by its fruits. I said again. Now, let me say it again here. When Phineas took the javelin and he speared the woman that was pregnant. Now, this woman was a stranger to Israel. She was not a bloodline affiliate of the house of Jacob. She had not one drop of connected blood to the house of Jacob. She was from over in the land of the Philistines. And she was of a Canaanite mixture. And she was brought in, and this Israelite man fell madly and deeply in love with her. And when the command went out to separate yourself from all your children that you have miscegenated and brought in to the house of Israel, it's cleansing time. And to remove all of these illicit seeds that he came in, the Israelite man defended her and said, not so. I love her deeply, and I don't see nothing wrong with them. They look good to me, and I love them deeply. And he refused to do so. He lost his life as a result of it. You'll lose your life if you commit fornication. You will lose your offspring. I will kill her children with death, Yahweh said. You see, Yahweh is actually the biggest killer in the world. I'm going to repeat that. Yahweh himself kills more people. Proof positive that the Bible will tell you that Yahweh is the author of death. He is the author of life, and he said, choose this day who you will serve. He's the author of good and evil to give you a choice. And you must refrain yourself from the evil and shun it and cling to that which is good. And then Yahweh, knowing that you've been tried to the fullest. I'm telling you, there are some of these beautiful women that are very enticing as far as the flesh man goes. But when you bottom line it and look at where the spirit of the consequences and of your actions, remember the Bible says if you take a good tree and mix it with a bad tree, you're going to produce evil fruit. Evil rules over good. Oh, yes. Although it looks good, and that's where the deception of Satan has transformed himself. Remember, he took Eve and had a child with her, and Cain loved Yahweh. I'm going to repeat this. Cain loved Yahweh. The only problem was Yahweh didn't love Cain. Let me tell you something. Esau loved Yahweh. The only problem was Yahweh didn't love Esau. The Bible said he hated Esau before he'd ever done any good and evil. He judged him as from the seed root of what he was, which was evil. You say, well, buddy, how can that be? Because he was Isaac's son also. And Jacob was Isaac's son. These were twins in the womb. One from the good tree and one from the bad. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, Cain and Abel, one from the good tree and one from the bad. Either make the seed good or the seed bad. And if you mix them together, you've got a hell of a problem. And it's going to take a God with a spiritual discernment to know them that are his. And the Bible says, I know them that are mine. And there will not be one drop of genetic, satanic blood go to heaven. Not one drop. And remember what I told you about the black paint contaminating, one drop, contaminating the can of white paint? That is applied to the hypothetical situation here of the analogy that I have given, that if one drop of Cain's blood is in your bloodline, you have got a major problem until it's cleansed, because not one drop of Canaanite blood, of defilement, of Satan's bloodline, his seed, will not return back to heaven. It's been cast out, it'll be cast out forever, and it will not be permitted to enter back in. So you must keep yourself pure and unspotted from these evil trees that are going around trying to pollute and to taint the very blood of the children of Yahweh. Now you know, this is the most serious thing, and this is what the teaching of the fallen angels is all about. You must remember this. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Remember this now. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth. Now, what is sowing? Remember, Satan was a tare, and he came in. Listen, when he did. When the good sower went forth to sow, the good sower is the parable of the Son of Man, our Messiah, our Savior, good bloodline. We told you that David's bloodline was directly from the blood of God. The Bible says that our Creator, Savior, Redeemer, made flesh, walked here, was actually God himself, Yahweh himself, walked here in a flesh body and taught his sheep from the house of Jacob Israel, which was actually from his bloodline. Remember what Christ said when they tried to ask him where he was from? He said, I'm from above. Where's above at? It ain't on the earth. Are we native earthlings? No. The Bible said we're pilgrims and strangers here. We say, well, if we're not native earth, then what do we care about the earth? Well, we have this promise that the righteous will inherit the earth. Remember I told you that Satan and his angels and his offspring and those who have been deceived or miscegenated into his family. This is where it's very critical, ladies and gentlemen, for you to examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. That there's going to be a judgment time of Matthew 25:31 when he said, I will gather all nations before me. Who were those nations? It wasn't the Congolese. It wasn't the Eastern Africans. It wasn't those from Timbuktu. Who were they? Everything that's going to be gathered before him is the house of Israel. And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, what's the difference between a sheep and a goat? A sheep is somebody that's kept the faith and ain't denied his name and has not miscegenated his blood. A goat is something that looks similar to the sheep and is in the sheep family here. But he's lost his nature as a sheep and become a goat. You know what a goat does? I know it says that, but. I know it says that, but. You know, they're always trying to get around God's commands, God's laws, as hard and as stern as they are. You say, oh, God didn't mean that. God wasn't behind that javelin when that preacher went up there and killed them three people. The little baby and the woman and the Israelite man. Killed his own brother. And God Almighty said, I'm proud of you, Phineas. And wherever you go, be it known that this covenant of the Phineas priesthood, what was a Phineas priesthood? To kill everything that miscegenated into the bloodline of Cain. And God said, I applaud your efforts. You're to be commended, and I approve of it 100%, and you teach your people, and you set an example that others do so. Remember what they do to you in Saudi Arabia when you steal? They cut your hand off. What they do to you in America? These slick, tricky dick lawyers have you back out on the street, and you trying to recover your property, and somebody trying to get somebody to make restitution for what's been stolen, you never see them again. So what you do? Well, you got homeowner's insurance because you got a mortgage on your house. They require you to cash, so you file on your homeowners. Well, what happens there? As soon as you file a claim, it goes up on you. You're in a dire strait, and you're between the devil and the deep blue sea. You can't win for losing, and Satan has got the advantage in the game. He ain't got the advantage in Saudi Arabia. You know why we're trying to go over there and to kill the Arabs and take their possessions away from them? It's because they've got a law of principle that is far exceedingly above ours, an honor system, that if you steal a bug, get your hand cut off, and there ain't too many thieves over there. When you see a man walking around without a hand, you know he stole something. Now, if you see him walking around over there without either hand, you know he stole again. Now, if you see him over there without a leg, you know he stole again. Well, you know, usually the first finger, they start with a finger first, actually, and then they'll keep on it till they chop off. And if you keep on committing a crime, they'll finally take off your whole hand, then they'll start on the other hand, then they'll start on the feet, the toes, and then the feet. So you're going to get the message real quick. If you lose your head over a little piece of tail of these things that the devil tells you that it's okay to do and there's no harm and you going out and miscegenating and getting somebody that is not compatible to your bloodline and you cross your bloodline to another bloodline and you commit, you bring forth something that is not original. You've done something that even Yahweh himself didn't do. He wasn't guilty of that. When he laid down the laws for a red bird not to mix with a blue bird, that red bird got the message. You know what? Man is the only animal that walks on the earth that didn't get it. That is responsible and yet can't get the message. We are the lowest of the forms of animal. Even animals obey God's laws. Mother Nature obeys God's laws. The only people that break them are the hard-headed, dumb, stupid, ignorant, foolish sheep who want to be a goat, who try to change their nature from what they are and go over and defy the laws of God as the foolish Israelites did and lost their lives in the result of it. And in Matthew 25:31, did you know it is those who had an opportunity to serve him that he said, depart from me? Did you know that it was those that came up before him and said, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? In your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And listen what he says at the end of the statement. Bind them that would not that I would could rule over them. Remember, it's the rules of the engagement that counts. It is your fruit and actions behind the efforts that you produce. You either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt, and Yahweh will decide at the end when he weighs you in the balances and you give an account for every idle word that you speak. You better have it all together then. It's too late to go back and change and say, oh, if I'd have known that you was going to be a hard man and you wasn't going to pull no punches and you wasn't going to play no games and I couldn't sing no sad songs or I couldn't buy my way out of this. You see, ladies and gentlemen, ain't going to be no tricky lawyers up there to get you out of your mess. If you ain't right when you go, you're going to, as a tree falls, so shall I lie, you're going to be wrong. And if you're judged wrong and unworthy of the eternal life that was destined for you, if you squandered your heritage and you've miscegenated and mixed, that the only unpardonable sin is sinning against your own body with fornication. And it's not going out here and having sex with a woman you don't know. Or you're not married to. That is not fornication. Fornicating is the adulteration of the blood. Fornication and adultery is the same rule. The adultery rule is for a husband who knows the truth or is an Israelite, and he crosses the line and goes over to a non-racial Israelite, and he commits fornication, and that's the sin that will not be forgiven. You're going to get in serious trouble with the Father. And you say, well, nothing happens today. What if Almighty Yahweh was to exact and demand judgment on the spot? Anytime you sin, that you'd lose your hand like you do in Saudi Arabia. Boy, there'd be a lot of people running around here with no ability to have children. Because they'd lose that they've used wrongly to bring forth illicit seed of kind, not after kind. And by thereby producing, if you will, a hybrid race of people that Yahweh didn't even invent or never contemplated inventing. Because when he made all of these races, races are good. Original root races are good. They're good because Yahweh made them, and he made them good. As long as they stay in their own bloodline and not miscegenate or mix their blood, there's no problem. The problem is when they begin to mix. And that's what these fallen angels did. They encouraged men to mix because they mixed themselves. They defied the laws of Yahweh. And ladies and gentlemen, it's just like the old saying, what goes up is going to come down. Well, you know that the angels was going up and coming down. And when they did, they failed one time too many. And when Yahweh drew the line, they crossed this line and he banished them from heaven. There was war in heaven. We're going to finalize in the next two messages here. We'll end up, tomorrow is Saturday, so we'll do part 10, if you will, Saturday, and then Monday and Tuesday, we'll do part 11 and 12, and we'll have 12 hours of teaching on the 12 tribes and the fallen angels, and what damage that they have done to the household of Jacob Israel by mixing and sowing the diversionary seeds into the true bloodline of the offspring of Almighty God. Listen, keep yourself pure and don't go there. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Calling. You've been listening to the series on the fallen angels. This is part 9. We're glad to have you in the house tonight. We've enjoyed being with you to teach you things. Some of the hard things that I've said are pretty hard. If you'd like to write me tonight, I'd be Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172 on the 24th day of September. Here, moving right along. Praise Yahweh. Now, if you'd like to email me tonight, you can do that by just emailing buddy1. That's B-U-D-D-Y, buddy1 at centurytale.net. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get out of here. The old clock on the wall has just chased me off the seats here tonight, but I've enjoyed being with you. If you enjoyed this broadcast, well, let me know. Yeah, give me some encouragement. I'm just a good old country preacher out here trying to preach the truth to you. Praise Yahweh. And if you'd like to know the rest of the story, tune in with us tomorrow night for part 10 of the Fallen Angels. I'll see you then. Yahweh bless you. I'm pretty sure.